Hello, I'm Dr. Deborah Barnett, and today I'm going to speak on reviving romance, and I'm going to offer you 7 suggestions to bring more fun and affection into your relationship. For those of you who don't know me, I live and work as a psychologist in Asheville, North Carolina. I utilize a holistic, integrative approach in my work. The challenges my clients experience are addressed by attending to the needs of their mind, body, and spirit. This yields lasting results for my clients because we're tending to the root cause of situations instead of simply fixing symptoms. Plus, the individuals I work with don't just get better, but find themselves thriving and living truly satisfying lives. One of my specialties is supporting individuals and couples in creating exceptional relationships. I sometimes work with both members of a couple, but I often work with just one person. By facilitating more fun, appreciation, affection, and improved communication between couples, the relationships experience less conflict and deeper connection, joy, and romance. Let me explain why I'm fascinated by relationships and why I enjoy sharing with others suggestions to make relationships flourish. I'm passionate about helping others improve their relationships because relationships have been one of the most challenging areas of my life. Even in grade school, friendships were difficult for me to navigate. And as an adult in romantic relationships, I've struggled and made almost every relationship mistake that can be made. However, I've learned so much and continue to learn and grow from my relationships. And I'm extremely grateful for each relationship I've had. Blending a synthesis now of my personal experience and professional studies, I love helping others so that they can experience less pain and greater love in their relationships. Are you presently in a relationship with a partner or spouse? Do you have days when you feel more out of the relationship than in the relationship? Don't worry. From time to time, it happens to all of us. I want to honor this time you're spending here to invest in yourself and your current or future relationship. To get the most of our time together, I suggest that you be open and in a place of receiving. My intention is that from our time together, you will gain some valuable tips that will help you through the rocky times, support you to enhance the good moments, and help you to create more great moments in your relationship. So why are relationships, especially in today's culture, so challenging? You'd think, wouldn't you, with the technology that we have available to us to make life easier, we should have more time available for our relationship, shouldn't we? A lot of technology is created so that we don't have to effort as much, so that we can do tasks more quickly, or in some cases, not at all. Some coffee pots, for example, can be programmed to turn on by themselves and make coffee in the morning. Your iPhone can sync with your computer automatically when you walk into the house. And a vacuum cleaner can vacuum an entire room by itself. Now, I don't know about you, but even with the convenience of so much technology, I haven't found my life to be less busy, and I don't find that I have a lot of extra free time. The problem is that we are so busy living our busy lives that we forget to take time to create our relationship being a place of love and an important part of our day. Instead, we often act as if our relationship should run on autopilot, just like so many other areas of our lives. And when it doesn't, and our relationship lacks juiciness, zest, or joy, or we experience discord, we often become frustrated. We need to make our relationships a high priority. This means being conscious of both our actions towards our partner and our thoughts that we send to him or her. Now, in the early stages of a relationship, being loving was easy, wasn't it? We gladly did things for our new love, and we thought fondly about the person a lot. I remember once when I was newly dating a man, I thought almost constantly about him. I recall asking myself, what in the world did I think about before I started dating this guy? However, as a relationship matures, it can become familiar, habitual, and sometimes we take our love for granted. Instead of thinking loving thoughts all the time about our partner, we may think more often about them when we're worried about her, or if we have a task in mind that we want him to do for us. So, to help you get out of or avoid these types of situations that can cause a relationship slump, I'm going to give you 7 suggestions to help revive the romance in your relationship. If you're in a relationship right now, you can use this information right away. If you're single, you can tuck this information away, digest it, and once in a relationship, utilize it to keep the passion and connection alive. Okay, here are the suggestions. Number 1, create a list of things you appreciate about your partner. I suggest getting a journal or a notebook in which to write down the list. At the top of the page, write the title, Things I Appreciate About My, and you'll fill in the blank, husband, wife, or partner, and why. Make it a practice that you visit and add to this list often. Some of the topics you can put on the list might be, I'm so grateful for my husband driving the kids to school in the morning because it gives me a little free time to myself. Or, I love the way my wife smiles at me so warmly. It just melts all of my concerns. Or, when my partner sings to me, I feel like the most special woman in the world. You can read this list and it will generate warm and loving feelings towards your partner. Later, if you have a situation in which you want to complain about your spouse or partner, you can think about something positive on your list and why you adore and appreciate your partner. This may soothe you so that you'll be less likely to complain. And if you avoid complaining, it does wonders for the relationship. Here's the second suggestion. Offer messages of love. These are little gestures or ways of saying I love you in a variety of different ways. You can send a text just to say I love you without any other request or information in the text. For example, don't be this woman who texts, honey, if you could just pick up some carrots on the way home, I forgot them when I was at the grocery store earlier. That would be so wonderful. Thank you. I love you. No, 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 no. Don't do that. That sounds like you have an agenda and motivation for texting. Instead, simply text, I love you and I'm thinking of you. Then press send. This creates the experience for your partner of, wow, with everything that's going on in her day, she's thinking of me. See, the love message is much more powerful when left uncluttered. Here's another suggestion. Leave him a love note where he will see it in the morning before he heads out the door for the day. Possible places for the note are next to his gym bag or by his laptop. You will feel so good and positive as Zeno. Okay, guys, here's a suggestion for you. Bring her flowers. We women love flowers. If you want to see a happy smile on the face of your wife or girlfriend, flowers are a sure bet. Another suggestion, if you're together with your partner or spouse during the day, make sure you take time to give lots of hugs and kisses. Touch is so important and healing. And if you're feeling disconnected from your partner, touch is one of the fastest ways to reconnect in a very positive way. So lots of hugs and kisses to say I love you. It's a great idea. Another suggestion is to get a stuffed animal and tuck a love note under the arm of the stuffed animal. Put the stuffed animal in an unexpected place where your partner or spouse will see it. It's bound to make your partner smile if there's a stuffed teddy bear sitting on the back of the toilet with a note under his arm. It's a whole new use for stuffed animals. They're not just for kids. Okay, suggestion number 3, the positivity ratio. Research from the field of positive psychology demonstrates that positivity, the act of being positive, helps us in many areas of our lives, and especially in relationships. Positivity in relationships is beneficial for many reasons. Positivity helps us to broaden our minds so that we can hear and appreciate our partner's perspective on things. It also helps us to open our hearts. Positivity creates greater connection and resilience in the relationship so that you can weather the challenges when they arise. The positivity ratio is to make things work, is to offer 3 positive experiences, gestures, or words to every 1 negative experience in the relationship. If you offer more than 3 positives to every 1 negative, that's when you begin to experience flourishing. Flourishing, we will call the ability to be resilient and bounce back after a setback, to be open-minded to new possibilities, to connect deeply with others, and to be engaged with life. When we are flourishing, we can be our best possible self and create a positive future for ourselves and our relationship. Research on successful marriages shows that there are actually 5 positive exchanges for every 1 negative exchange between couples in a relationship. This is the ideal love ratio. The good news is you don't have to be perfect. 0 negativity in your relationship is likely to be impossible. So just think of making your relationship emotionally warmer rather than cooler. You can live the positivity ratio by offering more warm feelings to your partner rather than the cool ones. Suggestion number 4, offer a positive response to your partner's good news. When your partner is sharing exciting news with you, there are many ways to respond, but there's only 1 effective way. When your partner says, "Hey, guess what? I got a promotion at work." Don't ignore or change the subject, such as, "Really? Huh. Did you know that the Joneses are thinking about moving next week?" And don't start talking about yourself, such as, "Oh, that's good. You'll never guess what happened to me at work today." Furthermore, don't look for the negatives. "You got a promotion? I guess we won't have very much time together anymore." The best response is, "That is so exciting. What's the best part of that for you?" Your positive response and invitation to your partner to say even more about the exciting news helps in several ways. For one, your partner gets to relive the experience. This will enhance his or her positive feelings about the event. And when your partner shares the good news and you're excited, it creates a shared experience, which then you're both enjoying together. So this enhances your connection. So remember to respond with, "That is great. This is so exciting. Tell me more," when you hear the good news from your partner. Suggestion number 5, how to offer an invitation to have sex. Now, we can't really talk about romance and not mention sex, can we? However, even in the most healthy relationships, in the most healthy relationships, sex is an important part of the relationship. However, even in the most in-tune and connected relationships, couples are not always going to want sex at the same time, all of the time. One gentle way to invite your partner to have sex without verbally asking is to place 2 candles on the nightstand by your bed. When one of you wants to have sex, that person can light one of the candles. If the other person also wants to have sex, he or she can light the other candle to accept the invitation. If you are the person declining sex, it's helpful to offer a suggestion as to when you would like to have sex, such as tomorrow. Sexual interest is partially controlled by the level of the hormone testosterone. The higher your testosterone level, the greater the interest in sex. However, even if you're a low testosterone person and therefore not as interested in having sex as frequently, when considering possibly declining sex, it is helpful to ask yourself, what is best for the relationship? Before declining, consider this. Having sex may get you in the mood for sex. Sex increases your cuddle hormone, oxytocin. And sex has tremendous health benefits. So lighting a candle is a nice way to make an invitation for sex. But if you're the one about to decline, consider the relationship in addition to your own needs at that moment. Suggestion number 6, flirt and be playful. I have a question for you. Who said that flirting was just supposed to happen while dating? If you've dropped the ball on flirting, you're missing out on a lot of fun. Here are some tips to refresh your flirting skills. Compliment your partner, such as, "You look hot." Wink at him from across the room. Tickle her as you walk by her. Smile and gaze lovingly into his eyes. If you do mundane tasks together playfully, it's a lot more fun. And remember, it's okay to be silly once in a while. If you bring back the flirtatiousness into your relationship, you will enhance the fun in your relationship. Suggestion number 7, be curious about your partner's experience. It's important not to assume that you know your partner and his or her experience. I remember for many years, my grandfather believed that my grandmother didn't like coffee ice cream. And when he passed, we noticed she was eating a lot of coffee ice cream. My mother said to her once, "I didn't know you liked coffee ice cream." And she said, "I love coffee ice cream." Apparently, there was an ice cream preference assumption going on in their relationship. So don't make assumptions and be open to changes in your partner's needs and preferences. Be curious as to what's going on in your partner's world. A good question to ask is, what's up for you? Or what's the most significant thing happening for you right now? Then listen with curiosity and you may be surprised as to what you discover. So remember, be curious about your partner's experience. And here's a bonus tip. This is bonus tip number 8, but we could really do a full course just on this tip alone. To increase romance, ladies, I invite you to be in your receptive feminine energy when you reconnect with your partner. At the end of the day, for example. So often out in the world, women, as they've been trained into doing by this culture, women get into their masculine energy and they go out and they do, take control and make things happen, which is great and very effective. But this energy, when brought into the relationship at home, can cause conflict if women stay in this masculine energy. And if you have two masculine energies at home, it's not a very pleasant situation. In fact, it almost creates the repelling situation, such as when you try to put two like ends of a magnet together. So women, remember to soften and move into your soft, fluid, and receptive energy before you reconnect with him at the end of the day. Feel that you are the lovely gift he gets to receive. I hope that you're able to use these suggestions to enhance your relationship and rekindle your romance. May these techniques help you experience greater harmony with your partner and thus provide you with more energy available to be fully engaged in your relationship and your life. I'm Dr. Deborah Barnett. You can find more resources and information at www.deborahbarnett.com.